In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
What a beautiful day today, right? It really is. It's gorgeous. I have to pause for a second and admit that every time that passage read in 2 Corinthians and Paul says, I know a man whom in the body or not, I'm not sure, and I know a man, I'm like, come on, Paul. It's you, right? You know? Come on. But anyhow, it's a lot to ponder in his epistles. He writes to the Corinthians, a deeply troubled a parish or a church that he had started. One of the biggest problems is they had too much money. Anyhow, so he's very forceful in his second letter. So as we hear in the gospel today, some really miraculous stuff happened. There's a woman with a flow of blood. There's a girl who's really sick and she dies. We hear some numbers. Anybody remember the numbers that were in the gospel today? 12 and 12, right? Yeah. That's important. Listen to that. Because when we think of 12, we think of the 12 tribes of Israel. We have the leader of the synagogue who comes out. His daughter, who is 12 years old, is dying. We have a woman with a flow of blood for 12 years, and no one can heal her. And we think about these two things. I don't know about y'all, but when I think about it, the thing that comes to mind is the Levitical law. If you touch a woman who has a flow of blood, or if you're a woman with a flow of blood, you're considered unclean. There's all this ritualistic cleansing, and they have to go outside the city and all these things. If you touch a dead person, for example, you also have to go through a period of cleansing, of cleaning, washing, and staying outside the city. If you're curious, it's in Leviticus 21:11 and Leviticus 15:19 where these things are outlined, that anyone who touches a woman with a flow of blood is unclean. And anyone who touches a dead person is unclean. So when we think about that, it's almost impossible to understand this passage without first looking back at the Old Testament. And I'll tell y'all, if you want, my Father Peter's hot take on the Gospels is they are an exegesis of the Old Testament. So when you read the Gospels, it's explaining the Old Testament. And so this is happening. What he's explaining is what the law was all about, why these things existed. The Levitical law existed for one purpose, really, and that was to draw the people away from death and towards life. It was these commandments from God to say, let go of things that are unclean so that you might come a little bit closer to me, so that you might enter into the house. And if you do a study of Leviticus versus Numbers, Leviticus starts where God was calling to Moses from inside the Holy of Holies, and Moses couldn't go in. But then at the start of Numbers, he goes into the Holy of Holies after receiving the Levitical law. So that Levitical law gave him that little bit he needed so he could actually go and be in the presence of God. And among those was stay away from blood and dead people and dead things and pigs. Unfortunately, bacon, which is really great. You know, I think the Israelites would have been a lot happier if they could have had bacon. But anyhow. But the purity laws all had to do with things pertaining to death. And so we see that in these people today, in these two women, and the daughter of Jairus, and this woman with the flow of blood. They're held by corruption and death. And so St. Luke tells us about these women who had the flow of blood for 12 years, and a man who had a daughter with 12 years old who was dying and eventually died. They're held by corruption. They're held by sin and death. And I want to say real quick that when we talk about evil, It is correct in the Orthodox tradition that when we say evil is synonymous with corruption. Because there is no real evil. Evil has no ontological reality. It doesn't exist. Evil is good corrupted. Only good actually exists. And so what we find in these two women is they are held by corruption. Something has grabbed them and is harming them and leading them to death. And yet both Jairus in faith, and the woman went to Christ. Jairus ran and fell at Christ's feet on behalf of his daughter. Again, we're talking about praying for people who are sick, effectual prayer of a righteous man. The woman reached out to Christ amid the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And make no mistake that the hem of the garment, if you look back in Numbers, of all places, Numbers 15, 18 through, I think, 41, the hem of the garment was a reminder of the law. It was there to remind you, the blue thread in the hem of their garments. And so what did the woman do but reached out and touched the law? And when she reached out to touch Christ, she found the fulfillment of the law in him. The Levitical law, the Torah, all the good words, all the things they were taught to do to avoid evil and come to life, she found in him. And while the law was dying, lying dying in Jairus' house, the law, the girl, okay, follow me with this, and it was dead, Christ came and gave it life. It says, I am the fullness of that law. I am the thing that Moses, that I was telling you, I told Moses in the tent, don't do these things, don't touch unclean things, don't mix seeds, don't mix threads, because I'm calling you out of death into life. So we see in Christ is life. Jairus' daughter was healed because of his faith, and the girl was dead. But because of Christ, her death was only temporary. And I don't know if you noticed that. They're like, don't worry, she's dead. He's like, no, she's not dead. She's sleeping because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And because of me, she's only sleeping. Not me, you know, Christ. That guy. But that's what he's telling them. And he comes to them and says, no, she's not sleeping because I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the fulfillment of the law and all those things that I gave you before to save you from death temporarily so that you could know what life is when I come and visit you. Christ is life, by the way. So when life came and visited them, they would know who he was and they would worship him and fall down his feet as God, which only a handful of people did. It's amazing stuff, isn't it? Don't forget that Jesus is the resurrection and life. The law was there to point us to him. As Paul says, the law was a schoolmaster to tell us who Christ is. So we know, forget evil, forget corruption, forget death, run to life, run to wholeness, run to completeness, run to true being, to true life, to true existence. All this other junk is just going to drag you into Gehenna. Let it go. Run to Christ. And so there's much more, by the way, to this passage. You could probably be here for a couple hours, and you're like, oh, please, Father, not a couple hours. But I think what happens after we hear all this and we understand all this, what Luke is revealing to us in this gospel passage, we are left with one really, really big question. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to us here sitting, worshiping in this storefront temple in Phoenix, Oregon, as a community, a Christian community? And this is the thing. We are all called to abandon sin, corruption, and death in this world and to reach out in Christ, to Christ in faith. To be like Jairus, to be like that woman, to run to him, to reach out and say, you are my life. Not my job, not my politics, not the government, not whatever else you think it is. Jesus is our life. Not even food, not even sleep. And that's why we have an ascetic struggle in our tradition to remind us it's not the sleep and the food that gives you life. It keeps you alive, but it does not give you life. It may keep you going, may help you pass that test because you got enough rest the night before and ate the right, big bowl of pasta or whatever. But it does not give you life. Only Jesus Christ gives life. He is the life, the resurrection. And we are called to let go. And this process of abandoning the world, of abandoning sin and corruption, of abandoning evil, and the death of this world takes time. As a matter of fact, it takes an entire lifetime. We are given an entire lifetime to let go of one evil, to abandon, to run out of this wicked house of the world and run into the house of the Lord and to be his servants. A good friend of mine said once, we don't have much time, but you got enough. The Lord gives you exactly what you need. Make use of it. Let go. Let go. And because we're Christians for a reason. This is not a moral philosophy. We aren't here because we like the Orthodox culture. We're here because it's true. We're here because there's life here. Because Christ is here, and Christ is the resurrection and the life. He is holy, and we talk about God calling us to become holy, and I'm keeping an eye on the time. He calls us to be holy because, that word holy, by the way, means set apart, right? You've all heard that before, right? Okay, set apart from what? He set apart from the sin and corruption of this world, and he is life. Completely other, completely different. He is unlike anything we run into on TV, anything we run into in the store, anything we run into in this world today, in social media, online. He's unlike anything like that because that's all a bunch of junk. He's alive. He's real. He's true. He is holy. He's holy because he's not that. So he's calling us to be like him, to be holy like him. So when you read Levitical law, he's calling us to be pure and holy. That's what he's telling you to do. Give up the stuff. Go over here with me. Come on. Come into my kingdom. He's calling us to be made holy. To be, he is not unclean, but he is clean. And so he's calling us to be life-giving like him, incorrupt like him, to be made glorified like he is. And in doing that, in letting go of that, it's like choosing actively to take care of your body and live a healthy life and stop eating so many Twinkies. Which, believe it or not, it's hard to do if you really like Twinkies. They're good. Eat anything from Hostess. Not good for you, though. It's really bad for you. But it tastes delicious. Especially with ice cream. But, you know, it's... Let it go. Let it go. Choose to be healthy. As we choose to change our lifestyle to have a healthy body, so we choose our lifestyle to have a healthy soul. Tend to your soul. Your body's dying. Your soul's eternal. Take care of it. And so we have time, not much. Let us run to Christ today and seek his life. Let go of the sickness and the death. Let go of the flow of blood in your life. Let go of the death in your life that has strangled us for so long and weighed us down and drags us into hell. Let go of it. Cling to Christ. In faith. There were a lot of people pressing against Christ and only one of them was healed. And that was the one that reached out in faith and touched the hem of his garment. Reach out in faith. And when you don't have faith, just say, Lord, I don't have faith. I don't have faith today. I'm really struggling to trust you today. It's really hard to trust you today. But run to him in all things. Pray as best you can. Trust in God as best you can. Fast the best you can. Forgive the best you can. Seek his will out of a desire to love him. Because as we said, if you love someone, you do what makes them happy. You seek their will. It's like that young man in love with a young girl. What movie do you want to watch? Where do you want to go to eat? You know, it's like that, but holier, greater. And it's us going to God, what do you want today, Lord? How do you want me to live my life today? What are you showing me today? Seek his will. Love him. Desire to love him. Wiggle through the crowd and the craziness of this life. Wiggle through it. Press hard. And reach out. Seek the hem of his garment. And in doing so, find life. May God bless us today. We have the Divine Liturgy. It's awesome. It's great. Truly awesome. Not like California awesome, but like Bible awesome, right? So we have that today. Engage the prayer life today in the midst of the divine services. And may God bless us and have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.